Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Amen. When do we praise the Lord? Always. Right? We praise Him in our problems. Have you ever tried praising the Lord in your problems? We praise the Lord in our excitement. We praise Him in our victories. We praise Him in the mediocre life, the day-to-day, mundane. We praise Him in all those different times. So Sunday morning is very much a time to praise the Lord, to worship our God. But when this portion of service ends, we are not to stop that. When we leave this church today, when we walk out into the parking lot and get in our car, we are not to stop praising our Lord. Tomorrow, when Monday morning rolls around and whatever your schedule dictates that you do, we don't stop praising the Lord. See, we make a mistake when we separate church, Sunday morning church from the rest of our week. We make a mistake when we separate our job from our faith and our desire to praise. So today, as we just finished up, man, that was awesome. We talked about how the Holy Spirit has to run the service right before we started. And wouldn't you know it, the Holy Spirit takes over and He routes us like a stream to where we need to go. So today we continue to praise. Father God, we praise Your mighty name, Your holy name. You are the author. You are the finisher. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. You are before everything and You will come after everything. Father, You are eternal and You love us. And Lord, we thank You that You love us. We praise You and we worship You. And we are so thankful that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Jesus, we lift You up. You are the bright and morning star. Oh, Lord. You are the one through Your blood appeased and conquered the sins of this world. You have set us free. You have opened up a relationship between us and Your Father. And Holy Spirit, we lift You high today. You are the interaction that we have on a daily basis. You guide us. You speak to us. You equip us. You empower us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the authority that You bestow on us allows us to trample on serpents and scorpions, the darkness of this world, to wage war on the powers and principalities that not only come against us, but against our families, against our friends, and against our communities. So Lord God, we praise You and we worship You for that. Help us, Lord. Help us to live a life that's in accordance to You, realizing the authority and the power that You have placed within us. Lord God, be glorified, be praised, and we lift You high. Lord, we continue to pray for Sandy and those that are sick today. We continue to pray that You bring healing into those lives. And Lord God, those that are dealing with emotional things, depression and despair and loneliness, Lord God, we stand in the gap for them. And we ask You, Lord, that, Lord God, You open their eyes and open their hearts that they may praise You, to simply speak the name of Jesus and praise Your holy name. Because we know that when light comes into darkness, darkness can't exist. So Jesus be glorified. We lift up our community, Lord God, a dark community, a lost community. And we ask that Your light penetrate that community. And we know when we ask these things that they will be done. We know that You use us as Your vehicle for that. So Lord God, give us each wisdom and boldness to praise Your name on a daily basis and to share the name of Jesus with those around us. Pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everyone shouted,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, you guys can be seated if you're not seated already. I like mornings like this. Do you like mornings like this? It's more than songs, it's interaction. We've had an interaction already with the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue to have that interaction. But first, we're going to dismiss the kids. Kids, you guys go on down, have fun, learn a lot. Remember to always tell your parents or grandparents what you learned in church today and ask them what they learned in church today, because we got a whole lot to learn in church today. I want to get through the announcements super quick today, if that's all right with everybody. And everybody said amen. All right. Trunk or Treat, October 31st, 4 to 7 p.m. You can still, even if you don't sign up, you can show up and do a trunk. It doesn't matter. We still need some candy. We'll have popcorn and cider and hot cocoa. There's people signed up to kind of do the popcorn. And if you want to help with the cider and cocoa, that would be great too. We're going to have the trunks, but even if you kind of don't have a trunk and you're not doing popcorn or cider or cocoa, just wander around and meet people, for goodness sakes. That's the reason we're doing this, is so that we can meet more of our neighborhood, more of the people in this community. It's always a good time. And then we are doing a food drive for the Salvation Army. This will be before Thanksgiving, so of course, their food stores can run low before Thanksgiving, and this is just one good way to get a lot of food to them. We're going to give you options on this. It's going to be fun. So the youth came up with this idea that let's do a food drive, and we'll do a Cats on one side and the Grizz on the other. And when you bring your canned goods, your box goods, whatever, you put it on your team. And then the youth will weigh that on the 31st and on the 7th, and we can list a winner. The real winner, of course, is the people who go to Salvation Army to get food. But that's going to happen October 31st, Sunday morning, and then November 7th, Sunday morning. If by chance you're just kind of like, well, I don't really care about the Cats or the Grizz. On Sunday, November 14th, we're going to do a Bags by the Bumper. Now, that's the easiest way to do a food drive. So Bags by the Bumper, if you've not participated in that before, you just bring a couple bags of food to church on Sunday morning, and you just, when you get out of your car, you set them by your back bumper, and you come into church. You don't have to worry about anything. On that Sunday morning, during service, the youth will then go around and pick up all that food, and then on the 15th, we'll take it down to Salvation Army. I hope we have a pile of food. Now, this doesn't have to be just Thanksgiving type food. They're going to be short on everything. Canned goods are great. Boxed stuff is great. Probably don't bring a gallon of milk, because it's not going to be great. But that's what's going on for this food drive for Thanksgiving. So it's the 31st, the 7th, and the 14th. Awesome. No. You want to tell them? So, there's a mic. There. I know you love the mic, Chelsea.
Am I on? Oh, there we go. So a couple weeks ago, we did the Spud the Light downstairs after service. And again, we want to thank you guys. We raised over $700 for that. Our goal was $500 to take to convention, which is coming up this next Thursday, Friday. And we're going to be able to take $700 for that. And then we'll do the dessert auction in November for our end of the year goal. So thank you guys again for supporting the youth. We appreciate it.
Amen is right. And my last announcement is just a question for you guys. There's the Parade of Lights That is on November 26th. That's Black Friday, right? So we do Thanksgiving on Thursday, and then on Friday night, the city has a parade down Main Street. If we want to do a float, we can. We did 2 years ago. Last year, it was canceled, or it was like a walk-by parade, so it wasn't a real parade. So we didn't do it last year, but we have an opportunity to be able to do that again this year. I'm just throwing that out there. If you have interest in helping to do the float, to actually be in the parade, walk the parade, I have some ideas that I'm real excited about, but we can get together and talk about those ideas. But again, this is one of those things I don't want people to think, oh, we're doing a parade. If pastor says we're doing it, I guess we gotta help. We'll go help because you can't all fall on him, so we'll just do it. I don't want that. I want people to say, hey, I like parades. I want to be a part of this. And I need to kind of figure out how many people are excited about this so that then we can begin to plan that and decide if we're actually going to do that. Kind of like the trunk or treat. The response for trunk or treat was amazing. Let's see if you guys want to do a parade of lights. Let's do it. If you guys are like, man, not this year, nobody wants to help, then the few that always help, we're not going to kill ourselves trying to do it. So participation is everything. You guys be the judge, but tell me relatively soon. It doesn't take a lot of people to do it. It doesn't take a lot of resource, especially the idea that I have. It's not a hard float to do. A lot of it is just getting people down there that night and smiling and handing stuff out and encouraging people to say, hey, give a look to Bridge Assembly. That's my announcements. That was pretty quick, right? Lots of good stuff coming up, lots of fun stuff. We want to always give you an opportunity to give here. We try to make it as easy as possible online, bridgehelena.com. The giving boxes, great way to give, or you can mail it in. Again, tithe is 10%, right? It's 10%. Right off the top, shouldn't be your first 10%. That is your tithe. Above and beyond that is your offering. If it's like, hey, I really want to give to this or that. In addition to my tithe, your offering can be designated. Your tithe is a tithe. Just a brief, it's, you know, everybody has a little bit of confusion. That's kind of the biblical example of that. So give, make it easy. It's a part of praise. It's a part of worship. It's a part of laying everything that we have down in front of God and saying, have it. I don't want it. It's yours. What a relief that brings into our lives. I am so ready to get going on my message, but Sandy asked to say a few things. No, get the mic.
This is Pastor's Appreciation Month, and I hope that you've been doing things all month. But next week, we will designate it specifically. Out on the table back there, there are a number of different kinds of cards. If you'd like to take one, write a card, insert a little stuffing inside the card, if you get my drift.
Stuffing.
Restaurant cards are great. Movie cards are great. There are movies coming back. Yeah, there are even a few of them. And any sports places are okay. All of that, and don't forget the kids. And we'd like for you to tell the pastor, get a note. Don't just sign your name. Oh, I take that as a good part. I'll make you sign my their name. Write something. Tell them why you appreciate it. Amen.
Or if you don't. You know, write that too. You know, I think every pastor in every church has a Sandy, right? That's just like, hey, she's going to get up here and she's going to say what needs to be said. I appreciate that because for a pastor on Pastor Appreciation Day, it's always a little awkward, right? It's like, yeah, I'm not doing that announcement. You know, no, I refuse to. But thank you, Sandy, for all that. Who is ready to get started today? Let's pray, and then we will be ready to go. And honestly, throughout this message, throw a few extra prayers up for me, because I will tell you this. This is a portion of Scripture that is a little bit difficult to convey, because I want to make sure I convey it the correct way. We're dealing with a subject that is not always dealt with in churches. or it's overly dealt with in churches. So just pray for me throughout this this message. But let's go to the Lord real quick right now. Father, thank you for, again, thank you for today. Thank you for the time of worship. What a great time that is. Lord, we pray for the kids as they're downstairs. Holy Spirit, touch them greatly. Touch them greatly. Give them a new revelation of who you are, as well as each and every person in here. Open up our hearts, but also open up our brains. And Lord God, when we get it in our heart and our brain, let us resolve that we will also put this into action. Holy Spirit, you have given me a message to deliver, and I trust and rely upon you to help me deliver this. So Lord, help me to only say the things that I should say. And Holy Spirit, just shut my mouth if I start going off on my own ideas and those type of things. Jesus, again, we lift you high. We praise you. You're the reason we're here. We pray this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So are you guys enjoying this series so far? I know we've just barely scratched the surface. We are still in chapter one, but I hope you're enjoying it. Now, I've had a couple of people ask me, hey, Pastor, you're going through a lot of stuff. Is there any way we could get some handouts or some notes on the different messages? So I did go back and I did that for part one, part two, and part three. I'll try to do that each week. I will not give the notes out before the message, but I will give them out after the message. So Amy has a folder over there after the message if you're interested. I didn't know how many copies to make, so if we need more next week or whatever, just let Amy know. But we got those there. Some of the stuff that I've been going through, sometimes it's hard to get it all down, but if you want that, we have that. I would also love to know your takeaways from the messages we've gone over, from 1 John, what we've gone over so far, and all the way through the five chapters. I would like to know how the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, because there was a lot of excitement when we started doing this message, and I believe God is working in amazing ways. Again, I know we've just begun, but personally, I've been challenged big time. I've been encouraged big time, just studying 1 John and going through it. And really, it feels like I'm getting to know the person of John more throughout his writings and his deep, passionate love for Jesus. And what an example that is, to me. Today we're going to continue with chapter 1. We'll actually get through chapter 1 today. Now last week we looked at the first four verses, first three verses being one long sentence, and then we had verse 4 coming in and really, really putting an exclamation point on that, I think. And hopefully you saw the importance of how John chose to start this letter, because that's vital here. John did a specific thing in starting this letter. We looked at the depth of John's declaration as to who Christ is, right? Sandy, you talked about getting a card and all there is a name in it. No, a card has the ability to say so much more. And a lot of times those first words, how that card is addressed establishes where the rest of that card is going. Well, this is no different. The way John began the epistle 1 John, it really established things so that he could go to different places, to the places that he needed to go. Because John reestablishes his apostolic authority, which in many ways he really had to do because what was going on in that church, he reestablishes his apostolic authority, and because of that he can speak with certainty, with absolute certainty, as to who he knows Christ is. I wish we could all walk around and speak to who we know Christ is. But sometimes we get nervous, don't we? Sometimes we question ourselves. Well, John said there's a remaining faithful here, and they're just hanging on. They're being preyed upon. The wolves have not only come out of the church, but they're still hanging on. They're still trying to come back in to this church. So he reestablishes who he knows Christ to be within his apostolic authority. And John also does this with brotherly love. He didn't have to, right? He could have just dropped the hammer. But because John is who John is, and because Jesus is who Jesus is to John, John chooses to do this with brotherly love. And that is important. It's important in order to protect the flock and to keep them in a right mindset, right doctrine, right theology. But it's also important to keep them in a right heart set, right? Today, as we look at the second half of the first chapter, we see that proclamation of who Christ is moves into foundational instruction. As we read through this passage, I want you to underline the word "if" every time you see it. I love this part of Scripture, and I never really dawned on me until I was studying, going through, and it was as if the Holy Spirit said, focus on the if. The ifs is what it's all about. See, this is another example as to why I like John's writing so much. The word "if" denotes a choice that will then produce an outcome. Can't we agree upon that? If is a choice that will then produce an outcome regardless of what we choose, or in spite of what we choose, or absolutely because of what we choose. See, if introduces something that will result in the future but has not yet been determined before the event or the choice has happened. John is laying it out here. He is giving him the information which will then require an action upon their part. I love that, because that's how I'm wired. How many times have I said, hey, I've given you the message. You have it now. I got it. I passed it on to you. And now you have it. You have to make a choice and put that into action. My part in the general is done. Now you have it, and now you have to make that choice. And that choice will have consequences, won't it? It'll have consequences, either good or bad. How you determine to choose to accept these if statements will have a consequence, good or bad, but it will absolutely have a consequence. As I was going through this, it dawned on me that if is really the neutralizing agent of the middle ground, right? In our lives, we don't always like the ifs, because ifs mean we have to make a choice. When we make a choice, it neutralizes that middle ground. See, middle ground exists because choices are not made and actions are not initiated. I know a lot of Christians that are existing in the middle ground. And they're existing in that middle ground because they are refusing to make choices. They're refusing to put actions into action. See, I think we all need to hear what John is writing and be reminded of it. These aren't just ancient scriptures for a people that are long gone. These are words that are alive and are important for us today. So as we read this passage, in your Bibles, on your phones, whatever you have, underline "if" every time you see it. Here's where we're at today. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Lots of ifs there. Lots of choices. How many ifs did you get? How many? No, thank goodness, I got 5.2. Somebody threw out there, I got 7 ifs. I was going to be like, I got to run back and study some more. I found 5. 5 choices, in essence, 5 choices in this passage that every believer must rationalize within their own faith. It wasn't just these guys. It's us today. We gotta take these statements. We gotta look at these ifs, and we've got to rationalize and figure these things out and choose what we're gonna believe. So let's break this passage down. Let's go into verse 5. Verse 5 says this. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him no darkness at all. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? You can look at that verse and say, well, that's a nice, straightforward verse. But do we actually comprehend the depth of this verse? See, it's seemingly so straightforward that we can make the mistake of moving on too quickly, but we don't want to do that here. John is writing this so that they may know who God is within himself, which results in them being able to understand more who they are within themselves as creatures of God. And we need to do the same. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you. What an enduring statement. What a statement that has had endurance throughout the birth of the very first church back in the book of Acts. See, the gospel is able to be read because it's contained within the words of the Bible. Don't we rejoice for that? That we have a Bible that we can always open up and read and look at? See, it's the inspired, inerrant, living word of God himself. And how absolutely wonderful is it that we have the scriptures, and they are to be used to teach, to confirm, and to correct all those things within our lives. But I would bet if I took a survey of born-again believers as to how they first heard about Jesus, I would bet the majority of them would share the same story, that someone first talked to them and shared, or in other words, proclaimed the gospel to them. See, the gospel is personal, and it is meant to be shared in a personal way. John here is establishing that exact thing, and it conveys the loving and caring side of this letter. And again, that's important because John is about to say some harder things. Verse 5 continues, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Light here emphasizes the splendor and the glory of God. It's life. It's everything that is good. It also expresses his truthfulness and his purity. We must ask ourselves, do we believe Jesus to be completely good, completely truthful, and completely pure? Other religions have gods and deities that are brought down to a human level and contain some degree of conflict between good and evil within themselves. Think about the yin and the yang symbol of Eastern philosophies. The yin and the yang says, though it's all white, there's a spot of black. And though it's all black, there's a spot of white. There is no completely good and there is no completely evil. Problem is when we try to humanize God and bring him down to our level of comprehension, we create within ourselves a false idea of who God actually is. So we must get to a place in our faith where we truly believe that God is in fact light, and in him there is no darkness. This seems simple to us. Well, of course, right? Unfortunately, there's many people today that are questioning who Jesus is, what he actually did, while he was here. Did he actually sin? He probably actually sinned, didn't he? No, absolutely not. But there's an all-out attack on the person of Jesus not being light, pure light, but having a sliver of darkness in there. That's why we have to go back through verses like this. So we are truly believing that in God there is no evil, there is no sin, and there is no darkness. It is here that we begin to grow and understand especially who we are in God. John 3, 19 and 21 says this, and this is Jesus speaking, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, but the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The light, Jesus himself, by way of the Holy Spirit, illuminates and exposes the darkness. You believe it? John, now, after establishing that God is good, truthful, and pure, and in him there is no darkness, evil, or sin, moves into the ifs. It's not until he establishes this that he can move into the ifs. And here is where it moves from who God is to who we believe God is in our life. So let's jump into these ifs. Let's look at verse 6. Buckle your seatbelts. It can get a little rough, but it's going to be good. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, keep in mind, John is encouraging the remaining faithful of these churches to be in right relationship and a right mindset with Jesus. But he is also drawing a stark contrast to the false teachers who have left and are still trying to influence those who have remained. We see the exact same thing happening today, and we must draw a contrast between those who believe in the Bible wholeheartedly, believe the Bible testifies to who Christ is, a contrast between this and those who question or mislead who Christ actually is. Last week with communion, that was a special service. Last week we learned what fellowship means. It means communion, it means participation, the sharing of a common life and participation or partnership. That's fellowship. And that's fellowship with the light. That's fellowship with Jesus. To walk in darkness is the same thing as abiding in darkness or living in darkness. And the point here is that living in darkness is allowing darkness to define your life. The danger back then and the danger now is that there are those who will proclaim to have fellowship with Christ, but inside it is the darkness that rules. John bluntly states that anyone who does this for any reason at all, well, they are liars. And the truth is not in them. That's pretty plain and simple, right? Not they could be liars. Not even that they could be mistaken. No, they're liars. And the truth is not in them. See, he's addressing those that are not confused, but rather deceptive. And we must understand that we are faced with those same type of people in our lives all the time. Deceptive people who claim to be a follower of Christ, but inside is only darkness, and they seek to subvert your relationship with Jesus Christ. And we personally, each one of us, must use this standard that John is laying out here to gauge all aspects of our own life. Do we simply proclaim Jesus? Do we simply show up to church? Or have we truly been changed from the inside out? Here's a great and fun question to write down and ask yourself. Have you allowed the light to shine into all those dark closets in your house? Well, hot. It's funny how many eyes just hit the ceiling and the floor. Yeah, I can see there's enough light. It's awesome. I'm no different. Verse 7 is the next if. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Everyone say, thank you for the blood of Jesus. See, light is the nature of God, and his will is that it should become our nature as well. Now look at this. Look at this. We must understand that this is a non-negotiable statement right here. We can't bargain. We can't leave stuff out of this statement. It's non-negotiable. It's full effect. It's 100%. If, and again, our choice here, if we walk in the light as Christ is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. Is this actually saying that if we have a true relationship with Christ, then we must also have a true relationship with one another? That this is in fact something that we cannot separate? Yes. In fact, that is exactly what it is saying. See, this idea of Lone Ranger Christians who profess a love for God but neglect fellowship with their brothers and sisters in Christ, according to John here, are not walking in the light. John also states a second consequence of walking in the light, and that is that the blood of Jesus will keep cleansing us from sin. Couple pretty good things, right? So here's what I get out of this. We are to walk in the light, to be in constant relationship with Christ. As a result, we will desire to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters, and we will continue to experience the cleansing blood of Christ in our life. That's going to be important here in a couple minutes. So when I read this kind of stuff, when I read that it's this ongoing relationship. Okay, I got to be in the light because Christ is in the light. I need to have constant relationship with him. Out of that flows this desire to hang out with all these crazy church people, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's just fun to even pick up trash with them on a Sunday morning. There's all these different things, but I crave that fellowship. I want to come to church on Sunday morning. And in addition to that, because I'm in the light and I'm in that constant relationship, I will continue to experience the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ in my life. When I read that, I have to ask myself, where does that leave the theology of once saved, always saved? Well, you will have to answer that for yourself based upon this verse. Which now brings us to verse 8, which I will tell you is a real doozy. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now this one is flat out straightforward, isn't it? See, some Christians have a false belief and assertion that as a Christian, they never sin. In the case of this letter, those who had left the body of believers were claiming to be superior. They were claiming to be without sin. But we must remember that they were claiming those things based upon their own idea of what sin is. See, spiritual pride has split many a church. Because didn't we just read that if we continue to walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us? And I think we could take that and we could say that the blood of Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. See, until we are separate from our human nature and in eternity with Christ, we will miss the mark. Miss the mark on a daily basis. Miss that mark of righteousness continually. You are sitting here today listening to this and you're nudging the person beside you, saying, "Who, me? Why, I never." I cannot believe what the pastor is implying. Understand, right? Understand that whenever the principle of sin is denied, an ongoing reality, denied as an ongoing reality, what follows is a denial of responsibility for individual actions. Let that sink in. Just in case, we'll read it again. Understand that whenever the principle of sin is denied as an ongoing reality, what follows is a denial of responsibility for individual actions. Thank goodness that never happens in society today. See, it is the belief that the moral code that I choose to live under can be determined by myself. If I'm sitting there determining my own moral code, then I am sinless. Never misjudge the implications or consequences of denying the sin principle. By doing so, we deny truth and our reliance and relationship with Christ. It fades away. And ironically, we choose to make the power of the blood of Christ impossible in our life. Not an easy message, is it? Do you know what guards against all of this? A big, fat, heaping dose of humility. And if you think you don't have to guard yourself against this spiritual pride, you need to wake up and you need to get with God. Now, I need to clarify here. This is incredibly important. I need everybody listening here. I'm in no way saying that we should walk around defeated all the time as woeful sinners. I'm not saying that at all. And in addition, I'm not saying that if we cannot get totally away from this sin principle, that we should just give up and embrace sin in our life. I'm in no way saying that either. What I'm saying is just a reiteration of what John is saying. Don't deceive yourself and say that you have no sin. See, all of this should sound really familiar because it is how the world operates. And it's more popular now than ever. Determining your own moral code to live by. Forgiving yourself and claiming that you are perfect the way you are. That your actions, though they may or may not hurt anybody, are justified because you're doing them. And it's okay. We gotta wake up to those things. See, it's so easy to blame others and never take responsibility for our own actions, right? Either because we're prideful or because we're a victim. But is that how a follower of Jesus is meant to live? The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Which thankfully brings us to verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And everyone said, Amen. It's a good verse to get to. See, that's like a breath of pure mountain fresh air right there. We just filled our lungs with something great. See, to walk in the light is not to deny sin, but it is humbly confessing our sins to the one who is faithful and just, the only one who can forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. And how often should we be doing such a thing? When we confess our sins, we affirm our sinfulness. When we affirm our sinfulness, we declare our reliance upon Christ. When we will declare our reliance upon Christ, we further develop our relationship with Him. So I would say it'd be a good thing to be doing on a daily basis. For some of y'all, it's an hourly basis. Nudge that person behind you, Beth. Just kidding. And that's the great part. God, within his nature and promise, is always faithful to forgive our sins. God is always faithful to forgive our sins. It's who he is. But in order to get to that place, we have an if, we have a choice. We need to be asking for that forgiveness. See, without humility, how can we ever truly see the greatness of God? Spiritual pride drives a wedge between that person and Christ and ultimately the Father. And without the light shining into the darkness, how can we have humility in the presence of our Lord? What an incredible passage of Scripture, isn't it? I mean, truly, this is incredible. Verse 10 comes along. And again, verse 10 is really an exclamation point. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. I read that. I was at my desk. I'm reading that and I'm like, okay, yeah. John just went there. Wow. Plain and simple. If anyone claims they have not sinned, we literally attempt to make God a liar, which stands in stark contrast of verse 5. How can God be a liar if he is light and in him there is no darkness? Well, he can't. He cannot be a liar, and thus, if we do so, we are far, far, far from God. That's interesting. It just dawned on me right now. I don't think it was my mind doing it because I'm not smart enough. It says that if we believe that we have no sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now check this out. This was John dealing with spiritual prideful people that had left the church. What if we could also say, if we say we have sinned in such a manner that Christ cannot forgive us, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. See, we not only have the prideful, but we have those that think they are so bad that the power of the blood of Jesus could never help them. I hear that all the time. Let's call it what it is. It's making a liar out of God. Now it is important here to remember that John is addressing the faithful believers that have remained in these churches. He is not speaking to the unsaved. And though these exact same principles apply to all of mankind, they are ruled by darkness, and until they embrace the light, until they crack the door and they allow that light in, because that light is always shining, but they can have the choice to try to keep it out of there. Until they allow that, they will remain there. John, however, is speaking about those who have claimed to have had the light, yet have left these churches with their prideful spirituality, their self-imposed authority over those who have stayed. And it's kind of like John is saying, see everything that those guys are doing? See how they're conducting themselves? See what they are saying? See how they're elevating themselves? See how they have transformed the open, beautiful gospel message into their own little cult? You see all those things? See what's going on there? Within the humility of Christ, don't be like that. Don't be like that. But rather aspire to be like Christ himself. As we read through these ifs, we should be challenged and made aware of the danger that spiritual pride and the denying of truth, the denying of truth of God, actually does. And don't think spiritual pride is a 0-100% thing. That right there is a sliding scale. To a degree, I think we all have spiritual pride. Sometimes we do it, we wear it as a mask. If we are spiritually prideful, we can divert people from actually seeing how messed up we actually are. Sometimes we use it as that. Sometimes we use spiritual pride as a weapon, don't we? Well, if you only prayed more, like I do, if you only prayed more, your life would be perfect. Now, spiritual pride, in essence, wants to be used as a weapon. And spiritual pride, of course, is deception in that person. Truly believing that they've attained something that's far greater than the gospel message says. That they're on a different level than everybody else. That there's the brothers and sisters, and then there's me. See, that's a real danger for pastors and leaders in the church. And we see this play out in 1 John. We also see this playing out throughout the world today. Worship team, if you guys want to quietly come up here. And we read through all this. I'm telling you, this is doozy stuff. This is stuff, these ifs, boy, those are the things we got to take in. We got to read them. We got to say, okay, where am I in here? Do I truly believe that Jesus is all light and in him there is no darkness? Do I truly believe that he's the Son of God and he is perfect? He is sinless. When he walked this earth, he never committed any sin. I got to ask myself those questions. All these if questions. Am I a liar? Am I denying sin? Am I denying that I commit sin on a daily basis? Am I thinking that no big deal? Am I seeking God? Saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you on a daily basis. Forgive me my trespasses today. All those things that I've done. It's 8:30 a.m. Forgive me for all those things I've already done. And Lord, cover me for the rest of the day. Help me not to do that. But when I do it, Lord God, forgive me. We got to ask all these things. We got to ask ourselves these hard, hard questions. I'm telling you, this message, this series, it's hard. Because we have to make those choices. The good news? Jesus is here for us. Jesus is here for us. So this morning, if you've not on a daily basis pursued God, if you've not on a daily basis repented of the sins, and I'm not talking, well, I am talking the willful sins, those sins that you know are wrong and that you know you shouldn't be doing and that you know you just continue want to live in that, but also the sins that where you're just missing the mark. Oops, that guy cut me off and I didn't reciprocate the way I should have. All these different things. You've been apart and you've been away from God in such a manner where you haven't had that. Maybe you're praying every day, but you haven't had that kind of clear communication. This morning is a morning where you can do it in your seat. You can do it at the altar. Let's just get with God. Just confess our sins. Let's just ask for his blood to cover us. Let's declare and praise that in him there is no darkness, that Jesus is the light of this world. It's what our community needs. It's what our families need. It's what our workplace needs. We're going to praise, man, this song. Gosh, this is the perfect song. As you were singing it this morning, I was like, wait a second. This is the perfect closing song. I want everybody to stand up. I'm going to pray, and we're going to go into this song. I want you guys singing loud and proud. I want you declaring the greatness of God and that in him is light and there is no darkness. And that we need Jesus. And when we call upon the name of Jesus, it's the darkness that trembles and the blood of Jesus that cleanses. Amen. Father, thank you so much for everything that you are accomplishing, for everything that you have accomplished, for everything that you will accomplish. What a glorious thing. And Jesus, we ask your blood upon our lives. We confess to you that we fall short continually. We don't deny that, but we confess that because we have a reliance upon you. Now take that, forgive us, and help us to gain a deeper relationship with you by the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Let us walk with our chins held high, because we are the redeemed children of the Most High God, and we are to profess that to those around us. Not just simply hand them a Bible, but Lord, give us the right words to profess your gospel to those around us by the name and the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. We ask these things, and everyone said, Amen. That's a for sure. That's not a kind of sometimes. That's an absolute for sure. Jesus, he makes the darkness tremble because Jesus is the light. He makes the shadows question everything, because remember, darkness, gray areas are just darkness in disguise. It's the light that exposes those things. So you can count on that. You can take that. Jesus is the light. The light came into this world to cast out the darkness. And the light cannot be overcome. Amen. Hey, we got a text from Mike during service, just said Sandy's having trouble breathing this morning. She needs some urgent prayer. So guess what? We're going to give her some urgent prayer. Right. I want you guys praying. Pray your heart out. Those of you that may not know Sandy, it doesn't matter. Just pray for her. She's in the hospital dealing with pneumonia. She's got a lung condition. She needs the touch of the Holy Spirit right now. Father, by the power that you have, Jesus, by your blood, Holy Spirit, by your action, we ask that you breathe that oxygen into Sandy's lungs right now, that you fill her lungs right now. We stand against the enemy. We stand against darkness, Lord God. We ask and pray that your will be done, and we plead the blood upon this situation. Lord God, we believe. We believe. So, Lord, let it be. Jesus, we love you and we proclaim you. And I know Sandy right now, she's crying out your name. She's proclaiming your goodness. Well, we're standing here asking you to fill her lungs. Jesus, we love you. It's important that we can come to you in these situations and believe. So Holy Spirit, do your thing. Jesus, let your will be done. We love you. We pray this in your mighty name.
Pastor, before you finish, can I do something?
Yes.
So we sang "It's Your Breath in Our Lungs" earlier.
Yeah.
And I just want to proclaim that over Sandy. It's your breath in her lungs, and we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in her lungs. And we pour out our praise to you, only sing. It's her breath, it's her breath. It's your breath in her lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in her lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, only.
Just keep going, John.
Great are you, Lord.
Because you give Sandy life.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope.
You give hope.
And you restore every heart and body that is broken. No sickness can take over her. Cause great are you, Lord.
So great.
Cause it's your breath in her lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in her lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
It's your breath in her lungs, God. Nobody can take that away but you. Nobody can take away your breath out of our lungs but you. No sickness can do that. Even if we have weakened lungs, our body can't even do that. Our body, it might give out or wear out or whatever, but you're the great physician. You created us. You know what our body needs, and it's your breath that gives us life. You spread out over Adam, and you breathed into him. It says it breathes into his nostrils. That is your breath. That it, and then he came to life. He already had a body. He was already created. He just didn't have life. So you are the breath of life. God, I just pray that your breath just breathes into her this morning and that she won't have any more trouble. And that it's your breath, and that is the most powerful breath that there is in existence. Your breath created light. Your words created the universe. So there is nothing that you can't do. There is nothing that you can't do for Sandy. You love your daughter. You love her. So you are with her. Thank you, Father.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.